Hello?
Well.
Brother Coffee, is that you?
Sister Twaint.
It's me,
You've been so busy tonight.
Twaint. I have. Listen.
How's your bank?
Gentle listeners, we are trying to record once a week.
No,
We
we're
think we
not. Don't say that. Don't say that. That's a lie.
We have it figured out.
No, that's a lie. We're never going to do that.
And we were going to record last night. And then it didn't. It was weird. I don't know what happened. And then tonight, I was like, okay, we totally can tonight. And Brother Coffee was like, oh, me too. Tuesday night is even better. And then I was like, sorry, I'm running a little late. I was on the phone with my bank. And then I got home from the gym and I was like, sorry, I'm a little late. I need to charge my phone. 5 more minutes. And that was 30 minutes ago.
Because you can talk to your phone while it's plugged in. Like those don't have to be separate
I
activities.
know that's my brain told me tonight that it had to be separate.
Well, this is why we're not going to say that we're going to record every week, because we are in week two of this project and we're already one day late. And literally when you said, "Okay, I'm ready. Do you still want to record?" There was like 80% of me that was going to be like, "I'm going to fucking bed." So
It's late over there for you.
it's 1 a.m. There's a 7 hour difference between where you are and Utah. So it's 1 a.m. here.
No, it is not.
But look, we're trying. I can't promise
Yes.
I'm going to get through the whole episode. The
This
rest
is
of this
us
episode might have to happen
trying.
tomorrow.
Oh, maybe we'll just do half.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Monday night was supposed to be perfect night for you.
Yeah, why did we not
Shut up.
record last night? I can't remember.
Because I texted you, hear me out, dot, dot, dot.
And I was like, okay, let's just record tomorrow. Here's the thing. Monday night is the perfect night for me, but it's more of the perfect night for me when I have my kids, because I have this sort of window in the evening where I don't have my children. And so I'm like, if we just commit to doing it then.
Yeah.
But when I don't have my kids, which currently I do not, they are at their mom's. Then it's like, oh, I'm available, but also I could just sit and look at the wall and not do
Exactly.
anything, which is more
Exactly.
appealing. I'm not saying that sitting and looking at the wall is more appealing than recording this podcast, not at all.
It's like that thing where when you want to exercise and you convince yourself of all the many reasons not to, but when you finally do, you're so glad you did.
I've never ever wanted to exercise.
Oh, okay. But that's what I'm saying. Once you do it, aren't you glad you did it?
I've never exercised, so
Okay.
I cannot speak to this
You
of which
cannot
you
speak to
speak.
that.
I cannot speak to that of which you speak.
Okay.
You know what we're do you know what we're doing this week? You probably don't remember.
The top five?
No, another special thing.
What?
The intro music's gonna play after this bit. I didn't even put it in yet.
Cold intro,
Cold
baby.
open. Oh wait,
Nothing
this oh that means this is season 7. Welcome to season
but
7. Remember we said that last week? And that makes me really happy, because then when I post the episode, I don't have to go look and see what number the
or
last
episode
episode was. I
numbers.
can
Let's
just
just
put,
do a new season every week.
well, we could, but like when I post it, I have to say what season it is and what episode it is. Like there are fields I have to fill out.
Well, then let's just stop doing that.
Well, then the episodes won't publish. So the podcast is over. Good night.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well,
Well,
welcome to episode 7. I mean, season 7, episode
season
1.
seven, episode one. Does that mean we've been recording for 7 years?
No, because the seasons
No.
are not a year long.
No, they're who knows the fuck long.
Do you remember the season that was one episode long?
What?
Which season was
I
that?
think it was season four.
And then the next week we were like, "Welcome to season 5." And
We
we've never done something we thought was funnier than that.
except for the fa la 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 bourbon.
And also PO Box 11104. These
It's so funny.
are things that we think are so funny. So funny.
This is my daily life with the students, with my fellow students. My daily life, like I make jokes and they look at me like, are you speaking Russian?
They don't
And
think you're
I
funny.
Well, I mean, they do, but I guess I'm expecting a bigger response.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't fuck with people like that. I would have dropped out of school if I were you.
Right.
I need to be the funniest person in the room.
So I've started flipping them off when they don't laugh at my jokes. Yeah.
But they also don't think that's funny.
That gets a little giggle out of them, which is the only reason I do it.
I try to be the funniest person at work also.
Yeah.
And today, one, I made a very inappropriate joke to my boss.
Oh.
And like literally was like, and it was in a text. And he walked out of his office and he looked at me and I was like, should I delete that? Should I unsend that? And then the other funny joke I'm making is because I work with a bunch of 20-year-olds and they're all sleeping with each other, you know? And there's
even the Mormon ones?
Probably. I don't even know which ones are Mormon. There's always so much gossip. And I never know any of the gossip, but luckily my best work friend knows all the gossip.
Okay.
But someone was like, wait, didn't you hear about da da da? And I'm like, no, I'm Grandpa Coffee. No one tells Grandpa Coffee anything. No one is coming over being like, Grandpa Coffee, let me tell you the tea. So those are the two new funny jokes at work. The very inappropriate joke I said to my very Mormon boss and Grandpa Coffee.
Right.
So
are you saying your boss walked out of his office to be like, what the fuck?
There was a text exchange going on with several of us, and I was at my desk, which is near his office, and I made a somewhat inappropriate joke on the text thread.
Okay.
And he walked out of his office with like big eyes just staring at me. And I was like, do I need to hit unsend it? But we were okay.
Okay.
I think he really thought it was kind of funny, but he like he's the boss, so he had to
maybe
be like,
he's nervous.
That was very close to the line.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I think deep in his heart, he knew it was funny. Anyway.
Was it a joke about holes?
No, it was a joke about one of the other people who was on the group thread only wearing a towel.
Oh.
So.
That's fine.
Right. I mean, yeah, it was not over the line, but it was kind of like at the line. Like it could have been over the line if I'd added a few adjectives. You know what I mean?
So far from the line. I don't know.
Well,
everybody uses
America.
A towel.
That's true. do you have any updates you'd like to give? Do you have any
Chantilly cream,
zuppa inglese, or mayonnaise? What do we call it?
Chantilly cream or agonese?
Okay.
We could choose something new because it's even season 7, new season.
Well, let me just tell a little story about what I just said. So when I was on my LDS Mormon mission in Italy, I had a good friend who was not my companion, but we were junior companions together.
Oh.
And he was queer as a nickel in a chicken coop. You know what I mean? Like he was gay as a $2 bill.
Right.
And he was a fashion designer in his head. And he would design, I actually think he is a fashion designer now, but anyway, he would design fashions and we would talk about fashion shows he wanted to produce.
Okay.
This is not going to be funny for people who don't speak Italian. Anyway, one of the fashion shows we were going to produce, because I was going to help him produce the fashion shows, because we were just two straight Mormon missionary young men talking about the fashion shows we were going to produce when we got home from our mission.
Yeah.
One of the fashion shows was going to be called Inglese e Mayonnaise, which in Italian means the English and mayonnaise. Uh-huh. And the show was going to be sort of an English-inspired fashion, you know, tweeds, nubby wools, like scarves, like Highland boots. And that would be the first half of the show. And then there would be an intermission, and it would just be someone in a big mayonnaise costume, and they'd walk down the runway, and it would go boop, boop, boop. Boop, boop. Oh. And then it would be more English people at the end. So that was the show, Inglese and Mayonnaise.
Wow.
These are normal straight things I talked about on my mission as a straight young man.
Wow.
But that's a great name, right? Inglese and Mayonnaise. Inglese e Mayonnaise.
E Mayonnaise. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
When you walk into work tomorrow, you should just say, buongiorno, inglese e mayonnaise.
Nobody I work with speaks Italian.
Aren't they like, the owners like Italian?
No. They hired an Italian chef to come over to San Francisco for a month, 5 years
ago. Okay, all of this time, you work at this pizza place, And you're like, no, we make the Roman style of pizza, which is called pongzong or something.
Pinsa. P-I-N-S-A. Pinsa.
And I literally lived in Rome for an entire year. And I never one time heard the word pinsa. And I've given you crap about that since day one when you worked there. I was like, that is not a word. And you were like, no, they're Italian. And now I find out that they are not Italian.
I was so confused.
The Italian guy that they hired was really from Burbank. And he was like, in Italy, we make it a pinza. And
no.
They were like, oh, pinza.
No, guys. No. No, guys.
No.
No. Look it up. Pinza is a thing.
No, and it's not.
No, it is. If you Google it, you will see. Google will tell you. But I thought the owners were Italian. I was so confused.
Let me interrupt.
Great.
This is like when for years you insisted that you didn't drive a minivan and I teased you about it. And then one day you were like, confessed that it was a microvan.
It's a microvan. Which
and
is
I was
not
like, this
minivan.
Is the same fucking thing.
No.
And now you're like, no, it's the real Roman thing. It's called pongzongong.
Oh,
and
Jesus
I was like, that's
Christ.
That's not real.
Hey, brother.
And you
Coffee.
Were like, no, it is. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I did actually, because
yeah,
I said I'm going to interrupt you.
I
now.
Was just going to say, go stimulate your vagus nerve. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay, fair. Did right. I? Are you upset? Are you okay?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Okay, I'm holding space.
So I do have a chantilly cream.
Okay.
I'm really excited, fucking excited to see Dune Part 2 this week.
I am too, except I need to see Dune Part 1.
Yes, you do.
I'm sure we've talked about that on the podcast.
Right, that you came, you were drunk.
It was me and you and Cindy. Well, and here's the thing. I said, do you want me to bring some booze? I don't know if you remember this part. I said, do you want me to bring some booze? And you said, yes. And so I have like a normal size flask, but then I have like a bigger flask that I think holds like 6 ounces or something.
Okay.
And so I brought that one so we could split it. And then you took like an ounce because you're a normal person. And then I was like, oh, well, I better just put the rest of this bourbon in my Coke. So I poured like 5 ounces of bourbon or something, which is like, what is that? Like 4 shots worth of bourbon, basically.
Yes.
And then I was so drunk. And yeah. I was wandering around. I remember getting up and going to the bathroom. I was wandering around the theater, like taking photos of things and texting them to you.
Yes. And then you had to pee several times. So
of course, because I drank 6 ounces of bourbon.
This is bourbon. And then about 2/3 of the way through, and you're also texting me and Cindy while you're sitting next to us.
Like I was texting you like about how hot Oscar Isaac was. I was texting you about the fact that there's a character named Duncan Idaho. You know, all of the things. Yeah.
All the things. And then about 2/3 of the way through, you leaned over. You didn't even text it. And you said, I'm going home. I've missed the thread.
I've lost the thread.
I've lost the thread.
I had been asleep for about an hour at that point. And then I woke up and I looked up at the screen and there was just sand and it was going. And I was like, I got to go.
Yeah, you had to go.
And then I went home.
That was the night that I told you and Cindy that I really wanted to date a guy who was super built, but he got that way from helping the community.
Right. A classic.
That was
a classic moment in our friendship. Me getting drunk and losing the thread and you explaining how you wanted to date someone with a hot body, but he got that hot body by helping the community. So you're excited to see Dune 2.
Yes.
It looks great.
So I've been
hearing... The press tour is beautiful.
Yeah. So I've been hearing that... Okay, well, Esquire, I don't pay attention to reviews unless it's Entertainment Weekly. Okay. Oh,
the golden standard.
And, but I was just scrolling through my Instagram and it just popped up. Esquire said it is the best sci-fi movie of the decade. And I said this to C. Jane and she was like, Esquire needs to calm the fuck down because the best sci-fi movie of the decade is Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah,
and so
that's true.
I started a rewatch of that, and it is good.
I just want to quickly interrupt, and I don't know if you saw the text that C. Jane just sent us.
What? No.
She said, while I was waiting for you to get ready to record, you sent her 3 Marco Polo messages.
Oh, that was on my way back from from the gym.
Well, I was still waiting. Anyway. Yeah, I haven't seen Dune 2, so I cannot speak to whether it's the best sci-fi movie of the decade. But Mad Max Fury Road is brilliant. Breathtaking. It's,
yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Had you seen it before and you're rewatching, or you'd never seen it?
I'm rewatching because C. Jane said it's her favorite movie of all to me. So I'm like, I want to go back and see it through that lens.
Remember the guy that just stands at the front of the truck and plays the guitar?
Yeah.
Like that movie was so fucking cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, my Chantilly cream is also a bit of media.
Okay.
Chantilly lace? Wait, what's the category?
Chantilly cream.
Inglese? Mayonnaise?
Chantilly cream.
So last night I watched All of Us Strangers.
Oh, Brother Coffee.
And this is a movie.
Yes.
That you watch through your eye holes and your ear holes. No, it's the movie with Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. And they're nominated for some awards or something, right?
They were, but not for Oscars. They were nominated for SAG, for Globe.
I don't care about awards at all, but Andrew Scott's performance in this movie is stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning. Anyway. Stunning.
Yeah. And so is Paul's.
All I knew about this movie was they were gay. That was literally it. And I purposely avoided, like, spoilers or reading reviews or seeing TikToks about it. And it came to Utah, right? You saw it when it was in theaters here, but it was only at the Broadway downtown.
I think so. I don't think
it ever came to, like, just normal theaters. And I don't go downtown. I'm too old. I'm 46.
Yeah, and I don't go south of
7200 or north of 21st. You know what I mean?
I do.
I just like to stay in my little pocket of the valley.
I fucking feel that.
Anyway, so it's fine. It's on Hulu now. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So I watched it last night. And I may never recover from watching that movie.
Okay, I need to say this right now. When I left that movie, I went to see it with my gay ex-husband, Gary.
Right.
Who said a couple days afterwards, side note, a movie has never affected me in that way. But when we left the movie theater and we were driving back to wherever, I was couch surfing, so I don't know.
Yeah. You might have been sleeping on a Trax car for all we know.
I was like, I need to tell Brother Coffee to make sure he has therapy the day after he sees this movie.
Here's the thing. I don't want to spoil anything.
I was really nervous about you seeing it, but I also really wanted you.
As you should have been.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything. And if you don't know anything about this movie, I would say go in not knowing anything.
Please.
I thought it was a sexy kind of May-December romance because Paul Mescal's 28 and Andrew Scott is 47. I looked it up because I wanted to know if someone my age could have someone as hot as Paul Mescal fall in love with them. And I was like, oh, Andrew Scott's 46 or 47. I'm 46. So it could happen.
Yeah.
So that was my logic. Also, do you remember? So we own a jewelry business. Do you remember?
Yes. What the fuck is that about?
For a long time, I have wanted a gold chain and I bought one once online and then I put it on and then I was like, I look like such a fucking twat. And I sent it back.
Well,
and
because then it wasn't as chunky as you thought it would be.
No, that was a different one. That was one that was chunky that I bought from online. And I was like, I look like an old man pretending to be cool. Okay. And then I just bought some chain because we have gold chain wholesalers we work with.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I'm just going to buy some chain and you can just put a clasp on it and make it long enough. Because that's the thing too. Like, I can't wear the jewelry we make for women because it's not long enough. Anyway. So I ordered this chain. It arrived and it is as thin as a string of fishing line. It is the thinnest chain.
Yeah.
And I wore it and I was like, well, look at this dumb FAG in his thin chain. But then I watched All of Us Strangers and 47-year-old Andrew Scott wears a very thin gold chain. So I thought maybe there's hope for me.
There you go.
Anyway, I don't want to spoil anything, but I will say just on a surface level, this movie is so goddamn sexy. Uh-huh. Like so, and I don't know what it is about Paul Mescal because he is like a handsome guy, but also like a little bit weird looking, but also in this movie, like, so like I was so in love with him.
Yeah.
Like he is so gorgeous and
1,000%. 1,000.
Anyway, I'll just say this. My text to you and C. Jane after I finished watching the movie, I said, this movie just broke me in half and then healed me and then broke the healed line apart again. And now I'm broken. So,
and now you're, yeah.
And then it left. Then it was like, well, it broke you now. So bye.
So anyway, bye. Have a nice night.
It is a gorgeous movie. It has a beautiful soundtrack with like gorgeous 80s music.
Oh, I know.
And it's, and it will break, snap you in half, like truly, like a grissini.
My teacher, who actually worked with Sandy Meisner, who like has been on television and in movies and stuff.
Right. And Sandy Meisner is famously the niece of Gary Meisner, who invented the Meisner method.
Shut up. Sandy is,
I don't know anything.
Is an old Jewish man who's dead, but
oh, Sandy's a man. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Sanford. But, you know, he studied with him in the 80s, so he calls him Sandy.
Right.
Other than Poor Things, it's his favorite movie of the year, and he's pissed that it wasn't nominated for an Oscar for Best Picture.
It wasn't?
No.
It was for surprising.
Globes. It was for Globes and SAG, okay, and da-da-da-da-da. And BAFTA. The English Oscars.
Right.
The British Oscars. But yeah, anyway.
You were telling a story.
That's it. I'm done. My teacher.
Your acting teacher thought Sad Things should have been nominated for an Oscar. That's the end of the story?
My acting teacher thought that All of Us Strangers was the best movie of the year underneath.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that part. Or maybe you didn't say that part.
And he's pissed that it wasn't nominated for an Oscar. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? He studied with Sandy Meisner.
So that's
he knows of which he speaks.
Yeah. Anyway, I highly recommend it. It's streaming. I think it's an important movie for every single human being on the planet to watch.
Here's the thing, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but like there is a tendency, I think, when a movie is made by members of a marginalized community, for people outside of that community to say, oh, this is a movie for blank people, you know, like, oh, this is a movie for gay people, or this is a movie for black people, or this is a movie for, you know, whatever.
Right.
But like when you're a gay person, you watch movies all the time about straight people. And when you're a black person, you watch movies all the time about white people. And when you're, you know, a disabled person, you watch movies all the time about able-bodied people. And so, like, I do think it would be easy for a lot of straight folks to see this trailer and be like, oh, it's like a gay rom-com. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
But like, it's like it is central to the story that it's a gay love story. It is an important part of it. But like, that's not what the movie's about.
Right. Right.
The movie's about anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was it was brilliant.
If you ever see something like that and go, oh, that's just a gay movie, that's not for me, it is for you because you have gay friends. You might have a gay kid one day.
Right.
You might have a closeted family member you don't know about. And also, you're probably gay.
Right. And which we're going to talk about a little bit more in our top five. But anyway, yes, what are your disgraces?
Agonies.
I don't know why it's Chantilly Cream and Agony.
Because before it was Bagels and Horrors. So it makes as
I
much
know, but that was from like a tweet.
Right. But
because before that it was like Cums and Bums or something, wasn't
but
it?
But we're going with the theme.
Okay. So now on to your agonies.
Okay. I had a rough day.
Okay. Great.
That's it. No. I had
Did you fight with your Meisner teacher who knew
Sandy
Meisner?
I did not. Fight with my Meisner teacher. We're on much better terms this semester. But in my first class, so Tuesday is my, I'm sure I've said this before, is my day where I have two classes back to back, a 3-hour class.
Oh,
I get an hour break and then a 4.5-hour class.
Right.
And halfway through something that was bothering me about something in class became an emotional situation.
Okay.
After about 2 seconds.
Emotional for you or like just emotional?
For me.
Okay.
emotional as in I was fucking pissed. And when I acknowledged that I was pissed, I was like, okay, wait, God, I rarely feel this angry. And wait, what am I mad about? Okay, but I don't, the thing I'm mad about doesn't warrant these emotions. And then I was like, oh, it's my hormones. So I had a moment where my estrogen.
Wait, are you going through something hormonal?
But I, my estrogen must have fucking spiked because I wanted to burn the school down. I was that upset about this little thing. And then it exhausted me. It fatigued me physically, and I still had to sit through the 4.5 hour class afterwards. Okay. So that was wild. That was crazy.
Bodies are crazy.
I know.
They kind of fucking suck in a lot
of
ways. Estrogen,
I mean, I said this before, but like estrogen affects affects every function in my body, not just like my period and my reproductive and sexual stuff. It's every function in my body, every single one. So anyway,
because correct me if I'm wrong, you are in perimenopause right now.
Fucking am, yeah.
By the way, I didn't even know. By the way, now my TikTok has started showing me videos about menopause. I think I mentioned that last week.
You said that last week.
And what I didn't know was that menopause is menopause begins when you have your last period ever. It's literally when your menses pause. And we called that menopause. That was brilliant. Good work. Like, I knew that it was like when your period ended.
Right.
Like when you didn't have any periods anymore. I didn't realize that the menopause, like the moment of menopause was the moment that the menses pause.
Right. And it's as a refresher, menopause is one day long.
Right. When your menses pause.
And 12 months after not having a period.
Oh, wait, it's 12 months after. I thought it was the day after.
Oh, no. Because
I got to watch more polos.
Because
I gotta watch more pillows.
Yeah, you don't.
That's true because that happens every month when you have a period and then it stops.
And then
that's not menopause. That's just a cycle.
Right. Yeah. Do we have
one year later? They're like, yeah, it's paused. We've been waiting a year and it is paused.
And then I'm like, be kind and rewind. Give me my hormones and my period back, please. You know?
So if you weren't aware, menopause is one day.
Stop!
But perimenopause can be the 5 to 10 years leading up to that day.
Yeah.
Where your hormones are in dysregulation.
Right. And actually, they know now recently that it could be 20 to 10 years before the actual day of menopause.
20 years before?
Yeah.
God really hates ladies. He's like...
Which is why Christian men hate ladies and Christian women.
That's fair. I feel like maybe we should do a podcast about menopause.
That's what Hot Drinks is.
A separate podcast about menopause. I've
apparently been in perimenopause the whole time we've been recording, and I just...
You've been in perimenopause the whole time we've been friends. Like, when we met at BYU, you were already in perimenopause, and you did not know it. Because you were around 20 to 30 years away from the pause of your menses. There we were doing She Stoops to Conquer, and you were having symptoms of perimenopause.
Oh my God.
Were you in She Stoops to Conquer?
I was not, and that's a painful story.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry, but every time I think of that play, I just think, why the fuck do schools do these stupid ass old ass shows that no one wants to see?
That no one wants to fucking see. But we were in Comedy of Errors together, which is Shakespeare, which is kind of in that category, but a little bit better.
But he was queer, and it's like poetry, and so it's okay.
Yeah, it's
anyway.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a very quick. What are they called? Menses? Disgraces?
Menses.
Aberrations? What?
Agonies.
Agonies.
Yeah.
I will literally never remember that. This is not a bit, ladies and gentlemen. This is literally, I will never remember that. Okay, so I have probably talked about this before because it's one of my great eternal truths, but I just felt like I wanted to just, I just wanted to chew on it a little bit tonight. And so I invite you all to chew on it with me. So Mormons, when they grow, when Mormons, you know, age into adulthood, they are just children pretending to be adults. They're not real adults.
Right.
They're not engaging in the world on a real level. They're engaging with the pretend world because they think that, like, their big brother Jesus is going to come down. And, you know, like, it doesn't matter about climate change, right, you know, whatever. And like,
fix everything. We don't need to think right, about those things.
Right. And, like, it doesn't matter if the church hates gay people because, like, well, we can't understand the mystery. It's like children. They're like, well, I don't know why Santa Claus doesn't bring gifts to the poor kids, but we just never understand the mysteries of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Anyway, living in Utah is living in a state full of adult children. And this is manifest tonight in a morbidity that is also, what are they? Disgraces?
Agony.
I genuinely forgot. Chantilly creams and
agony.
Agonies. Okay. It's an agony that is also a chantilly cream. I, after a glass of bourbon, thought I need a sweet treat. And I ordered a box of cookies from one of the many, many purveyors of cookies in Salt Lake Valley. Like, there are multiple places where you can order warm cookies from, which is a lovely thing, which is not a bad thing. But like, if you had, like, 9-year-olds design a society, they would say, oh, and you can get cookies whenever you want. And that would be part of the society. But anyway, I ordered some delicious cookies.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cookies has Kinder Bueno stuck inside it, which I'm not mad at.
Yeah.
But anyway, and that's all. I just ordered these cookies and I thought, wow, I can get cookies at any time. And then I thought, I live in a state that was built by children pretending to be adults.
Oh, yeah.
Where I can get a soda and a cookie on every corner. But if I want to buy alcohol, you know, I have to give my firstborn and go into the DMV, you know. Anyway,
yeah.
So that's just my agony. Like, I just can't with Mormons and them being adult babies. So anyway,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just as a little promo.
Yes.
Please support us with your money. You can you can sign up for our Patreon. We don't give you anything, but we're thinking about it. You can buy jewelry from our jewelry business, Aspera Jewelry, or you can buy Hot Drinks merch from the Hot Drink Shop, which is linked in our Instagram bio. And guess what?
What?
Someone bought the boxers.
Brave!
Someone bought the boxers that says Spit in My Mouth.
Brave!
After I dared everyone to, she did it.
Brave!
And did you see the message she sent us?
Yes. She said, it's a surprise.
Something to the effect of, I can't wait to take photos of my husband in these boxers. He has no idea they're coming.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? That's what keeps the marriage alive. So hats off to those two.
Hats off and boxers on.
Anyway, don't you want to go to, like, your family, like, spring break family reunion in a t-shirt that says Gentle Listener? Or in a t-shirt that says All Your Husbands Are Gay? You know what I mean?
That's the
one. Or don't you want to... Anyway, I already did the whole scenario about wearing the Spit in My Mouth boxers, but there's some cute shirts over there, so you should go get some. Anyway, that's all. Okay.
Absolutely.
On to the episode, because this episode's already too good to hold back.
I'm going to say it the way I remember it, and then you say it.
Yeah.
Our top 5 pieces of advice for those of you getting divorced after last week's episode.
Right. So last week... we recorded an episode about the top 5 ways to know you're in a mixed orientation marriage.
Right.
And really what that evolved into, because a mixed orientation marriage could be a variety of orientations.
Exactly.
But what really the list became was the top 5 things that happen when you're a straight woman married to a gay man. Because you're a straight woman and I'm a gay man and I was married to a straight woman and you were married to a gay man. So that's all we know about.
Yeah, that's it.
So those were the top 5. And then I don't want to get into any specifics because I don't want to, you know, shake anyone's cage. But we got several messages from people saying, uh-oh, And we said, rot row.
Yeah.
And they said, yoinks. And we said, zoinkies. And so now this episode is for those people.
Yeah, it sure is.
Where we're giving, we're just going to give a little advice. If last week's episode rattled your cage a little bit and you said, hold on, wait a minute. Wait, hold, what? Wait, what was number three? Oh, oh, number four? If that was your reaction last week, this week is your some advice to you.
Yeah.
And I really feel like we're doing Satan's work. And I really feel like it's valuable and it's important.
Yeah. And today you were like, I've got my five. And they're all really sad.
They're not all really sad, but I was just like... Like, because then I was just writing advice for people who might be getting a divorce. I thought, well, this is kind of sad.
You had a moment where you looked up from your pen and paper. I'm sure you were using pen and paper.
Yeah, I actually use a quill. It's a big feather quill.
And you looked up and you went, wow.
I went, oh, this is sad. Yeah. So okay. Let's take a little break while the intro plays.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And then let's come back and let's give some advice to some people whose cages were rattled when they found out their husband was gay.
We don't have to sing.
Let's not.
Oh, hello, gentle listener.
Welcome to Hot Drinks. Before...
I'm fucking drunk.
God damn it.
Hot drinks.
Hot
drinks.
So I'm already drunk.
Like and subscribe. We're back,
and I have a proposal.
Okay.
I'd like you to go first again.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That feels very, what's like the opposite of misogynistic, like androphilic or something of you?
Oh, I gotta Google it now.
Okay, I don't know. But that was good, right? Like androphilic? Like, I think that might be a word. I don't know.
That sounds like Andrew and phallic.
Well, right, because andra means man, and philic means loves, and phallic means penises. Andrew loves penises. That's what I said.
It's called... according to Google, the opposite of misogyny is actually liking and or loving women. So it's not... It's not
liking and loving men.
Right.
So the opposite of misogyny is just American society. Hey-o, zing zing!
No, the opposite of misogyny is called philogyny, which is a love or fondness towards women.
Right. Phil, which is what I said. Andrew. Okay. Anyway, Andrew. Well, this is interesting.
Okay.
You know what we should do? Let's start a linguistics podcast.
Jesus. Okay, what's your number one?
Wait, I just want to say really quickly first. While we are on the break, I went and got a piece of one of the cookies I ordered because as I mentioned previously, if you're just tuning in, I mentioned in the first segment that I ordered four cookies because I live in a state run by children. And this cookie, I just ate a quarter of it and it was so delicious, but it was a cookie. And contained within that cookie were white chocolate chips and fruity pebbles.
Yeah.
And on top of that cookie was frosting. So like...
Mormons are
that
in so
is,
much
that
pain.
Is the work that is the work of 8-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mormons, fruity pebbles.
Mormons navigate their pain with sweets, you know what
they
I'm
do.
Saying?
They do.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
And they do some crazy shit. Okay.
So if you listen to last week's episode, whether you're the straight spouse or the and again, I just want to put this disclaimer out there.
Yeah.
When we are specifically talking about a marriage between a very gay, six on this Kinsey scale person and a very straight person. Mm-hmm. There are lots of mixed orientation marriages where someone might figure out later they're bi, you know, or whatever. And we support and applaud you. If you want to stay married, but you're going to get a little bit of the same sex action on the side, we support you and we love you.
Sure.
Well, you don't love them for staying married, but I do.
I know.
You despise them. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So my number one bit of advice for this person who listened to the episode was like, rot-row, is divorce is awesome.
There it is. There
it's so great.
It is, my friend.
People are so scared of it, but it's so great.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
And it's painful.
Yeah.
And it's tricky.
Right.
But it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. It Here's really is. It's kind of like when you know you should exercise and you find all these reasons to not do it. But
then
once you do it. You feel great. But also, I get it. Like, nobody wants to do what's required to get divorced, which is have a lot of hard fucking conversations.
Right.
Maybe get a lawyer. Well, you have to have a conversation. Do we get a lawyer? Not get
right.
a lawyer.
That's the conversation. The yep.
Pay
yeah.
for the lawyer, and then figure out what you're, where you're going to live, who's going to keep the house,
let's,
where the kids are going to.
Let's put it this way: the process of getting divorced is not awesome.
No.
Being However, divorced, awesome.
It's worth it.
It's so worth it.
Think about, no one wants to move. No one wants to pack up their house
no.
and move all that shit. No one wants to plan a funeral.
No.
But you got to do it.
Wait, plan a funeral?
Well, you know, but they say the three hardest things in life are the death, divorce, and moving.
Right. And I always say, no one wants to plan a funeral, but when someone's dead, it's awesome. You know what I mean? So no one wants to plan a divorce.
Unless they were in pain, you know.
But here's the thing. Once you're divorced, yeah. jerk off whenever you want. It's fine.
I know.
Take up the whole bed. It's fine.
Sharing a room with someone.
That whole closet, it's yours.
Yourself? Right.
Every yeah. drawer in that dresser, it's yours.
It's all yours, baby.
It's all you. Oh, is the bottom drawer? Nope. You're not saving that for anyone. That's yours, my girl. That's
Put
yours,
your toys
mama.
In it.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh my God.
Put your. What do you want to spend your money on? Whatever you want. Do you want to make reckless financial decisions like I did? Sure. Go right ahead. No, you don't have to clear that with anybody. You just get to go be reckless.
Yeah.
It's kind of great.
Right.
But yeah. you're like, but my kids, but I'm going to miss my kids. What if I'm not with my kids? Bitch, you'll see your kids.
Yes.
You and guess what else? You'll get a break from your kids.
Yeah.
And that is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
I love my kids. I also love when my kids are not at my house.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So divorce is awesome. Remember that friend of ours who like definitely needed to get a divorce and we were always like, it's going to be fine. Like just get a divorce. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, there's no way. No way. No way. And we were just like, no, but really like, but trust us. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You guys trust us. It's awesome. You're going to love it.
Right. Trust us.
You're going to love it. It's kind of, you know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like how you always have excuses as to why you never want to work out. But yeah. once you do, you're like, oh my God, this feels so good.
Yes. Oh my God. What a great analogy.
What's your number one?
Okay.
Did I catch you off guard?
No. A little bit.
Did you know we were doing this tonight?
Okay.
Did you leave the notebook in the other room?
Here's something that is going to be hard to swallow.
Yeah.
And it's thick, ropey cum. No.
That's not hard to swallow.
No, it's easy. I did it recently.
I did.
So my favorite is when the guy's like, I'm going to come. And I'm, you know, can tell that he is. And I'm getting ready to swallow. You know, it's a whole rhythm thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to, like, stop and give him a thumbs up. Like, go for it, man. Like, yeah. you know, so... I was in this last time.
I just feel like the thumbs up in that moment is quite beautiful. Like you're like head down doing your business and then you're like, drunk, thumbs up.
I guess, you know, you need to have the conversation like when I'm sucking you off and you want to come, you can come in my
just
mouth.
Just go. Yeah, just go.
So there I was.
But a warning is nice. Like a heads up is nice. Yeah.
There I was. And it was, and he's like, oh my God, I'm going to come. And I was like,
And then he never came again. And then his sperm dried up like the sands of Dune. Like the sands of Araco. And his penis low like unto a sandworm sucked inside of his Duncan, Idaho. And he never came again.
That's I don't know all of that on the front of a t-shirt.
I don't know if any of that is real. Because I got drunk and fell asleep during the movie.
God, okay. My number one.
What are we talking about? Wait, this... we haven't even got to your number one.
Because I said this is going to be really hard to swallow, so I had to tell
Right, and then we
story.
Had to go on a big tangent about Dune.
That's what it was. Okay. This is something that I wish I could have done with me in mind.
Okay.
Looking back, it would have just been a better situation.
Right.
But... I think now that I'm on the other side of things, it would have been better for my kids if
spit it out. You got
me,
it.
if me and Gary had gotten an apartment that we shared and so that the kids could stay in the house.
Oh.
And then he and I just went back and forth.
That's what Tish and I did.
I know.
And it has a name. It's called like bird nesting or something.
It's called nesting.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting name for that. But
yeah, so you get an apartment, you mm-hmm. set up whatever the schedule is,
uh-huh.
you know, whether, you know, 2 days on, whatever, and then you still live in the family home, you maybe have dinner together, whatever you're comfortable with, but then mm-hmm. at night, when the kids are in bed, and this, I think this really only works if you have, like, small kids.
Sure.
But at night, when the kids are in bed, whichever parent's turn it is goes to the apartment.
Right.
And then if they want to be dating or having someone over or whatever, they have a place to do that.
Right.
But the kids' lives remains largely unchanged.
Largely. And you can do that and still have your week off if you want and not
right.
come over and interact. But
right.
at least the kids have that stability.
Yeah, I mean, I think it works for some people. I think it's a good idea for a lot of people.
I wish I'd done it for my. I wanted to do that, but Gary wasn't interested.
Of course. I will say, Tish and I don't remember exactly how long it is. I don't feel like we did it for very long. Like, I think it was a good sort of transition piece.
Uh-huh.
But then it kind of felt like when you were, you know, living from couch to couch between... You know,
and
like
I get it.
Over the holidays, like at a certain point you were like, but where is my home? Is this my home? Is this my home? You know, like it does. There is a moment where you kind of go like, okay, but what is mine? You know?
Right.
And so, and eventually I think I was kind of like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. Like,
right,
I think I was the
right.
one that was like, I'm kind of done with this, but
yeah,
but yeah, it can be a great transition. So that's an option.
And I know some parents will both stay in the home. And they just stay in separate bedrooms.
Right.
But like Gary's thing was like, then why are we getting divorced if we're going to do that?
Right. It's because Gary wanted to start doing dudes. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So
for sure.
Anyway,
yeah.
Which, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, the great point. I think this is a valid point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
every single one of my kids at some point was like, it's just so stressful going back and forth.
Yeah.
And like, we brought them into the world and that we should have considered that first and foremost.
I will say, and I try not to talk like really specifically about my kids a lot on this,
I know.
Just to respect their privacy.
Right.
But one of my children who is an adult at this point, like he's, you know, he is 18. He recently made the decision that he just wanted to stay at his mom's house. And it was really because he was just tired of the back and forth, which again,
right.
we all can relate to and we all can understand.
Yeah.
And every time I see him, because I still will try as much as I can to help like pick him up from work or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, he is so happy. And I just, I'm like, oh shit. Like, you're so, like, he just seems so much calmer.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's really good. And again, like, I'm sure he'll still have his moments or whatever, but he just seems so much more at peace.
Yeah.
Just being able to just stay in one place all the time.
Right.
And it, yeah, anyway.
That whole
thing is messy of figuring out what's the right
it's a
schedule.
Fucking mess.
Or if you're Gary, you can just move to another state and then you don't have to worry about it.
Here's the thing.
We started out friends.
Now I forgot it. Oh, really, the best piece of advice, which I didn't even include on here, is to just not marry someone of a different sexual orientation.
That is great advice. And to that I would add,
yeah,
don't go into your marriage a virgin.
Oh, please, God.
Because if Tish and I had tried to have sex before we got married, we might have been like, hold on.
Yeah.
Something's not working here.
Yeah, yeah.
Something's wrong. And that might have led to some discussions.
Something's wrong. Oh,
I don't know what it is. It's probably biological. Anyway.
Or
my
you're
number
not
two
reading
in
the
this,
scriptures.
My number two in this sad, sad episode.
Yeah.
Everything's going to hurt a lot. Even
there it
when
is.
It makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
This is such a sad episode.
That's showbiz, baby.
I remember.
That's life.
I remember one time Tish and I were driving somewhere. I don't even remember where. And it was after we had decided to get divorced, but we hadn't really done the physical kind of separation yet. Okay. And we were driving somewhere and I just started crying out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And she was like, what's happening? Why are you crying? What's going on? And I just was like, we had all these plans and we were going to live this life and we were going to travel after we retired and we were going to do all these things. And like, we're not going to do any of those things anymore.
Yep.
Even though like we both knew like what we were doing was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's still, it's like really, really, it hurts really bad.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So Mother's Day or Father's Day?
Probably Mother's Day.
Right after the divorce.
Yeah, Father's Day has no emotion attached to it.
I was still going to church.
Right, right.
And
like a good cult member.
And I had this feeling that Mother's Day would not be a good day for me to go to church.
Never is.
And I was
That's
correct.
Not a good day for like active, happy Mormons to go to church. They still end up crying.
Exactly. So
and then the bishopric is like, here's a symphony bar because you are a symphony of womanhood. And then they hand out symphony bars.
So there I am. And remember, I had wanted a divorce for the last 8 years of my marriage.
Right.
And I'm sitting there in church, in the Mormon church, on Mother's Day, having all these doubts and so much fear that we made the wrong decision.
Right.
And of course, Gary's not with me. He had stopped going.
He is out blowing the mailman. Yes. I don't know.
Right. And so, and I called my friends, a married couple who were still Mormon at the time. They no longer are. And I was like,
Are they still married?
Yes.
Well, that's disgusting.
Thank you. Hey, are you holding the phone in your meaty cup? Because you're a little muffled.
Oh, okay. I am. I'm holding it like a pizza slice.
Oh, okay. All right. Jesus. Interesting.
I don't know what to do.
It just changed, but maybe it'll go back.
I am slicing the next cookie, which contains peanut butter and Oreos.
Oh.
Because 8-year-olds made it. And they made our state government.
See what kids can do these days. So, and I called them and I was like panicking and freaking out and like, is this wrong? Did we royally screw up? Because I probably didn't say fuck up on a Sunday. And both of them, to my surprise, without hesitation, were like, no, Sister Twain, this was the right thing. And I, that's all I needed to hear.
And then they were like, should we come over and give you a blessing?
They probably did. He probably did. Yeah.
That's hot though. Like a guy giving you a blessing, hot.
That's not your husband. Hot. It kind of was arousing whenever.
If
that
there's
happened.
A gentle listener that wants to give me a blessing, I'm into it.
While you eat a Fruit Loop cookie?
No, new kink just discovered. Uh-huh. If I may draw a parallel between your marriage and our modern political times.
Oh my God.
Gary was Kristen Sinema, who wanted to remain the senator of Arizona. And you were the people of Arizona who were like, no, we want to end this.
Yeah.
And then Gary was like, no, we can make it work. And then you were like, we're not giving you money anymore because we think you're horrible. And then finally Gary was like, okay, we should end this. Much like Kristen Sinema to the people of Arizona.
I don't know Kristen Sinema.
She's the bisexual senator from Arizona who we were so excited about. And then, surprise, she's a horrible person. So anyway, she's not running for re-election.
Oh,
because
no.
The people of Arizona were like, no, fuck you. You're terrible.
Oh, is she a bad person?
The worst. She blocked so much shit. She's the worst. Anyway, we hate her.
Okay.
She's the example that representation does not equal progress. So anyway,
I know. I saw a tweet today that said, plot twist, frozen embryos are non-binary.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, they fucking are.
We live in the dumbest time. Okay, my number three.
Yes.
All of mine are so, like, serious and morbid.
Oh, wait, I didn't say my number two.
Oh, wait, you didn't?
No.
What were we just talking about?
Giving blessings.
But unlike getting a divorce, was this not all part of your number two?
No, I jumped onto what you said about how it's going to hurt a lot.
Oh, okay. What's your number two?
My number two is very much geared towards our listeners who are probably all coming out or have left Mormonism.
Right.
If your marriage situation has been such that the husband has been A, in charge of the money, or B, the primary breadwinner, or both,
uh-huh,
he's gonna probably kind of double down on that as you are discussing splitting and going through the actual divorce process.
Right.
So the straight wife, be prepared for that. Have somebody who is financially savvy on your side.
Yeah, this is actually really good advice.
In your corner. Because there were some things that shocked the hell out of me with Gary that literally was like a slap across the face. It was just like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I was a deer in headlights, so.
Right.
Well,
shit.
Yeah. It's just sad.
this is what happens when you tell babies to marry babies. And they don't, you know what I mean? They don't know anything about living in the real world. Right. They do know that they want a cookie with Fruity Pebbles and white chocolate in it. They do know that they want a governor that looks like Caillou. And so they build a society and then they're like, I don't know how to pay the taxes. You know, right. I don't know where the electrical bill goes.
I know. Anyway. But also just this and all of these reasons are not reasons to not get a divorce.
Right.
They're just be prepared.
Right.
For these things. We're trying to prepare you for these things because we want you to split.
And also for legal reasons, this is all for entertainment purposes. We are not giving legal or financial advice or recommending anything.
No.
This is just for entertainment purposes.
Oh, that's why you sounded fuzzy. You've got a cookie in your mouth.
I am eating a cookie right now. So okay, don't sue us.
I accept that.
Also, I mean, sue us if you want, but like, what are you going to do? Squeeze blood out of this rock? Like nothing's happening.
Nothing. Ain't nothing coming out.
But anyway, this is all for entertainment purposes.
Purposes. Okay, go ahead. What's your number three?
It's so sad and boring, but my number three is that people's responses to this change in your life situation will be surprising.
Ooh, yeah.
Some people who you think
let's hear it.
Will be supportive and wonderful will not be and you will be like, but wait, but you're my people, like you should be supportive and loving about this, and they're not,
right?
And then other people who you don't expect at all will suddenly like be in your corner.
Yeah
And so you just
and then there's the quick third category of people who just stop talking to you altogether because they don't know what to say.
Right.
Yeah.
So just go into this knowing that like people are going to show their true colors. One of my really good friends, when I came out to him, said some things that at the time I was like, this is really weird. Like this, the things he's saying don't make sense. And then with time and with perspective and with new knowledge, I was like, oh, that's why he was responding that way. But right. Like people are going to respond in unexpected ways.
Right.
And it's your job to listen to your gut and say, that's not a response I want in my life.
Right.
That doesn't feel normal or correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's okay to walk away from some of those people.
And every single person's reaction to your divorce, whether their reaction is good, bad, or midland. Is about them.
Yeah.
And not about you and your choice.
Isn't that an eternal truth? Like, put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, for real.
Your friend's response to you coming out as gay, that's about them. That's not about me.
Right. Your friend's response to you guys deciding to get a divorce, that's about them. Even if it's a happy response, they're happy for you, whatever. It's about them.
Yeah.
So I remember 10 years before Gary and I split, his brother and his first wife split.
Uh-huh.
And we had gotten married just within like a year of each other. And And so when they announced they were splitting, it affected me in the most visceral and unexpected way. And I was so upset with Gary's brother because he was the one who wanted the divorce. That's all I'll say.
Right.
And
but that was about you.
And then when we went to the movies with his new lady, I told Gary, I'll go to the movies with them, but I won't sit next to them. So they sat at one end of the aisle and we sat at the other end of the aisle.
That sounds fun.
And
sounds fun and healthy.
I'm so embarrassed about it to this fucking day.
Yeah, that sounds fun and healthy.
Yeah. So, okay. Great.
Yeah. I think it's time for your number three. Do you need a break?
No, let's do my number three.
Okay, let's do your number three.
My number three is this. And it's for the straight ladies out there. It is fuck some straights.
Yeah.
But when you're ready. I think that a lot of people think it's a requirement to do that once your divorce is final or once he's moved out or whatever, and you do it when you're not quite ready. You can take your time, but also fuck some straights.
That, I mean, that's also advice for the gays, because for sure the first guy I had sex with, it was not time, and he was a piece of shit.
Oh, but, yeah. Right. And that will happen too. Let's say that's number 3A, is you will fuck some straights and you'll fuck some people who are not just coming out of a marriage, who have probably had multiple sexual partners, right, and think that you're just hooking up, and then you might see each other online, but that's it.
Right.
Afterwards.
Right.
Be ready for that. That is the more likely situation than you're going to have sex with someone and you're in a relationship with them, which I think a lot of us thought.
I absolutely thought that.
Yeah, as did I.
Like literally while this guy that was the first person I kind of had, not even a relationship, but the first person that I like had sexual relationship with, while he was telling me about other guys that he was in love with and that he was so heartbroken that they didn't love him.
Oh my God.
I was like comforting him and being like, no, but you're so great. You're so lovable. Yeah. Right. Anyway, don't do that. Or do that. Maybe it's part of the journey.
I mean, you got to learn it by going through it and making that. I hate to use the word mistake because it sounds like you're at fault, but you know what I mean? Making that misjudgment.
Yeah. Wow, is this episode really boring?
I think it's fucking great.
Okay, great.
Let's take a break.
Should we?
Yeah, I need to take a break for myself.
Okay, I don't need to take a break for me, but let's take a break for you.
Okay, bye.
This is your time.
Thank you.
And I'm here to hold space and honor your time on this break.
Is that phylogeny? For your time. Is that what? Phylogeny?
Is that what?
Phylogeny.
Oh,
the opposite of misogyny. Forget it. I got to. Hello. Welcome.
Girl,
back.
We're back.
We're back. It's same day.
It's a few minutes since we paused for the last break.
Yeah. Sorry about that music in the back. I was just doing a rewatch of the first Dune.
Oh, I got to do that. I got to get on that. Okay.
Yeah. We already talked about it in the first portion.
Right.
Which we recorded just a few minutes ago.
Not yesterday. Not last night. It was recorded just moments ago. And oddly, I've sobered up since then. Like in that very short break.
Wow.
I've sobered up. So my metabolism, ain't she something?
Wow. Maybe it's a part of aging for men, which would make sense because men age much better than women.
Right. As men age, things get easier. Not true. I have a bum knee and it's annoying. Anyway, we're to our number four.
And five, yes. And you're
right. Five typically does come after four, so that was implied.
Right.
Should I continue to go first?
Yes, please.
And for people that are just tuning in who maybe weren't listening yesterday, I mean,
Wait, what?
We're doing the top five. So we did the top five ways you might be in a mixed orientation marriage. And now we're doing the top five bits of advice in case last week's episode made you say rot-row.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel good to say last week's episode and it actually was last week?
I can't believe it.
Because usually we say last week and we mean 6 months ago. We mean April 2021 was last week.
Stop. Okay, what's your number four, sir?
So my number four, the way that I wrote it doesn't make a lot of sense. But I just wrote, you can listen to show tunes in the car now. And what I mean,
this is for the gay.
Well, I mean it actually for both people, but I just wrote it in a gay way because I'm gay.
Yeah,
but
okay.
What I mean by that is, in this marriage that you're in, where there is a mixture of orientations.
A mixture.
You are both doing things to maintain the... Are you okay?
Yeah.
Did you fall off the bed?
I fell out the window.
Okay. Did you hit those spikes that they have right there for the peacocks? For the peacocks? For the pigeons? Anyway. So, when you're in a mixed orientation marriage, when you're inside of a mom, you're both doing things to kind of maintain the status quo and keep the other person comfortable,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And or you're not bringing up certain topics, or you're, you know, whatever it is. And so that was just my example. I don't want to imply that in my mixed orientation marriage, my ex-wife would have been mad at me if I had listened to show tunes in the car. And I probably still did listen to show tunes in the car. But show tunes for me have always been this thing. Like, I've always loved show tunes, but they've always been this thing that I've, like, been scared to let people know that I love show tunes because that's gay, you know? And, like, when I was hiding, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I want to just throw that out as, like, a little bit of hope. Like, if you are in this marriage and whatever happens, and maybe you decide to go separate ways or whatever, like, there will be things that you'll be like, oh, I can do this thing now. And I don't have to worry about how it's going to affect the other person or what it might say about myself or what, you know what I mean? You just get a little bit more freedom just to live and be you and not worry about how it's being perceived by someone else.
Yeah. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. And that's why I want to share it, because I think I feel like most of mine up to this point, you know, the ones I shared just moments ago, like less than 45 minutes ago, were very, like, some of them were kind of sad. They were like, you are going to be in pain, you know? So I just want to say, like, there's some good stuff coming, too.
Oh, so many good things.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but can you think of anything in your marriage where once it ended, you were like, oh, I can finally do this thing and I don't have to worry about what it means or what it looks like or what he'll think or whatever? Can you think of anything off the top of your head?
Yeah, masturbating.
Oh, great. That is a good one.
Which could be unique to, you know, religious marriages, religiously based marriages, but whenever I want, and not worrying about, you know, I know that some healthy couples can masturbate in front of each other. That was not the case.
Sure.
Let's see, what else?
Can I just interject? I would actually be very curious because obviously also, yes, when I was in my marriage and when I masturbated, it was done in secret, you know, because the ironic thing is my ex was much more sexually, like, progressive than I was. And I think if she had known I was masturbating, she would not have cared at all. Sure. But I think obviously, like, there was a lot of religious shame. And then obviously I was masturbating, like, looking at gay porn. And so that was complicated. But I am actually very curious, like, people in relationships, I know you still masturbate. So, like,
yeah.
Do you just do it when the other person's not home? Do you just say, like, hey, I'm going to go in the back bedroom and masturbate? Do you just start masturbating and then they walk in and you're like, hey, I'm just, you know, beating one out. Like, I just, I'm really curious how it works.
Yeah.
In that situation.
For some is it sacred. Like, I just want you to know, like, I'm going to have alone time and I'm going to be touching myself, you know, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. Anyway.
Or is it just like he's loading the dishwasher and you go in the back bedroom and get started? I don't know why it's always the back bedroom. Like, why is it the shady bedroom? you know, you go into your own bedroom and get started. And then he finishes the dishes and you're like, do you want to join in? And he's like, oh, I actually, well, no, he would join in, but per our last episode.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
So yeah, I'm curious about that. We're
talking about all couples, not just mom couples. Mixed orientation couples, like what is your masturbation thing?
Yeah, no, right? No, that's what I'm saying. I want to know from people who are in in relationships right now, like either marriages or just partnerships, whether they're gay, straight, or whatever. Oh, I just have never, I have never been in a relationship or like lived with someone where we both masturbated and discussed it. You know, so I'm just curious, like whether you're in a married couple, whether you're in a same-sex couple, whether it's your partner, whether it's you know, whatever. I just would be curious, like, how does that work in your relationship? So,
Right in. Yeah, curious too. Write it in.
What's your number four?
My number four is be open to the idea of never getting married again.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, divorcing your spouse when they don't want your body. Is great and might it might feel like a good jumping off point to remarry someone of your same sexual orientation.
Right.
But you know, reevaluate what marriage means to you before you decide that. Spend some time, and I mean some years, unmarried. Date, have relationships, blah blah blah, but
or not, or be single,
or that, you know what? Basically, what I'm saying is for a few years, do your thing without reintroducing marriage, because what you will find is that you will probably, if you get married again without doing a lot of inner work, and I mean for both spouses, you're going to be introducing a marriage that may not have the mixed orientation issue, but at its foundation will have similar issues.
Right.
So think about that. I mean, everybody who listens to the podcast knows how I feel about marriage, but there are those of you out there who, you know, I'm not going to change your mind, and I've made peace with that.
You have?
No.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. I don't believe you that you made peace with that.
We could have left it there and let the gentle listeners think that maybe I had, but
no, you have not.
But let's say, like, no, I would like to try marriage again someday. Tread carefully and mindfully, because what I saw with my ex-husband, Gary, who is already been remarried and divorced,
right,
is he was just reintroducing a similar dynamic, even though they were both gay men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the marriage.
Sorry, I'm getting an ice pack out of my freezer. I'm the one being loud in the background. I want everyone to know, because I don't want people to be like, oh, there's Sister Twain making some chain mail. No, it's
like
me this
when you
time.
Were eating cookies last night. I mean, 20 minutes ago.
Right. And earlier, I don't know if you could tell, I was eating a McDonald's apple pie, which I had bought early in the day because it's late at night.
It's late at night right now.
Yeah. So I didn't buy it today. I mean, I didn't buy it anyway.
Everybody's so confused, but anyway, okay. So just, yeah.
Divorce. I do want to say, I want to add to that. Like, I think for me, when my marriage ended, we had been married a long time. We'd been married 11 years. And so all I knew was being in a couple. You know, I had been in a couple, you know, and at the time I'm 37. And so, you know, I had been a part of a couple for one third of my life. And so when it ended, the only thing I knew was partnership. Like, I wasn't necessarily looking to get married again, but I thought, I got to find a boyfriend. Like, I got to get a boyfriend. And I don't think it's wrong if you do that. Like, I think a lot of people get into relationships after divorces and it's fine, or they learn things or whatever. I did not get into a relationship, and not for lack of wanting to, but like, I was, it's all I knew. And I just thought, I've got to find someone. And so, and I think what it would do, I think it would put a lot of pressure on anyone I met or anyone I went on a first date with, because I would immediately be thinking how they would be as a partner and like, what would my family think when they met them? And, you know, yeah. Like, I couldn't let it just be like, oh yeah, I'm just getting to know this person. Like, it doesn't, you know, anyway. And that took a lot of therapy to get through that. But I'm just saying, like, be open to the idea that, like, you can be single for a while and that's okay.
And because the best relationship I've ever had, and I've had a myriad of relationships, and I mean by myriad, I mean a variety of several different kinds of romantic or sexual relationships.
These are all synonyms for myriad. So that is exactly. It's helpful to say a lot of them.
Uh-huh. To reinforce it.
Yeah.
But the best relationship I've ever had is the one with myself.
Oh, shut up. Oh, shut up.
No, I'm serious.
No, I know. I know, but like, that's so cliche.
But I mean, I'm
maybe
just,
maybe the sorry. Maybe the best relationship was the friends we made along the way. You know? No, I'm not saying shut up because I disagree with you. I'm saying shut up because that's the cheesiest thing to say.
I figured, but I'm sorry, guys. It's like fucking true. Anyway, well, that's a whole other episode.
I will also say, like, and I think this obviously, I'm sure it kind of depends on the person, but when you've been in a partnership for so long and then you are sort of forced to be single for a while, whether by choice or by your inability to form human connection with other people like myself, you actually might, like, I actually really, really like being single.
Yeah.
And I'm still open to the idea of a relationship or a partner or whatever, but I also just think, like, I have a pretty, like I enjoy my single life quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so for me to open that up and invite someone else in, like, they would have to, like, bring something real good to, like, make it worth it, you know?
To enhance what you already have.
Exactly.
And not take away from what you have. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So one more thing about my number four, and then we'll move on to number five, but, like... Yes. Those of you who might have this urge to remarry quickly, remember how much your first divorce blew. Because you're probably going to get divorced again.
Right.
I mean, I'm not fucking joking, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What's your number five?
My number five is you're about to have some really good sex.
Okay, there it is.
And there's going to be a lot of rimming involved, gay or straight. Because I will say, I mean, obviously I'm only speaking from my own experience, but I know a lot of people who are in mixed orientation marriages because of like religious reasons or whatever, you know, probably were not very sexually active or experienced before marriage, you know, really only know sex with probably this one other person.
Yeah, goddamn.
And if you are in a mixed orientation marriage, you know, I venture a guess to say that sex is not always super fulfilling. It might be sometimes. Like, sometimes I'm sure you can make it happen. But but now you are, and you're also going to have some really bad sex coming up. But now you get to go have sex with people with whom you share a mutual attraction.
Imagine.
And for the gays, you get to go have sex with someone who has like the body parts that you want to play with.
Yeah.
And you get to play with them.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
So I just think, just get ready.
You told me about this one thing. I'm about to get sexually explicit.
Oh, good.
You told me about this one thing where you...
I have no idea where you're going, and okay. I don't remember ever sharing anything sexually explicit with you, and I'm so scared.
You're right up against your naked partner.
Oh God, yeah, I know what you're gonna say.
And both of you are using your hands to just kind of like, what is it like rub your dicks together, give yourself a dual hand job. With
right. So
touching.
Yeah. So yeah. So it's not. God. It's not that you're both. It's not that you're both touching yourself. It's that one of you is holding both dicks in one hand and jerking off both dicks.
That is
it's
so
the
hot.
Best. It's so fun.
That's so fucking hot.
You didn't get to do that before.
And I never will.
You never will.
I'm so sorry about it. Yeah.
So you can be like standing up, kneeling down, whatever, you're making out, and then one of you is just like hand wrapped around both dicks.
Oh.
Jerking. It's so good.
It's like I think the female equivalent would be tribbing, probably.
Oh, what does that mean again? I know you've told me.
Is it
when you just like spread your legs like two Barbie dolls and just smash your booties together?
Okay. Slapping cats. Yep.
It really is like how Barbie dolls have sex.
Best orgasms of my life.
I thought was called scissoring.
And yet, well, that is the body position. But when you really, I think
the act is called tribbing.
That's what I think.
Well, listen, you were a lesbian for a time, so you can say. Like, you, like, if that's what you say, then yes, that is true. Because you were a lesbian.
Yeah, I guess.
For like 8 months.
I'm not really a gatekeeper of these terminology. But anyway, best orgasms of my life. And yet I still prefer dicks. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Well, the orgasm isn't everything, though.
Right.
Let me add this to my number five. The orgasm isn't everything.
Ding, 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 ding.
Like, I think... And I don't think this is exclusive to mixed orientation marriages, but I think in heterosexual sexual encounters, which, again, I'm only basing it off my own experiences, which were in a mixed orientation marriage, sort of like penis and vagina and coming is sort of the goal. Like, that's the gold standard. And anything else is sort of like a half measure, you know? And then I think when you're allowed to just be kind of sexually free, you can recognize that, like, sex can be super fun and never involve any sort of pee in anything, you know?
Yes, sex is such a vast umbrella for all kinds of intimately physical acts.
And I've had sex with people before where I have not had an orgasm because due to, like, stress or, you know, whatever, my head's not in it or the medication I'm on or whatever, and I still have a great time. Like, it still feels really great. I still have a great time. And then I'm just like, you know what? It's just not going to happen. It's fine. Like, I appreciate all your efforts, but it's not going to happen tonight. And it's okay.
Yeah, totally fine. You still had a great time.
Yeah, and it's a great time.
If you really need that orgasm, whip the vibrator out. The last woman I was with, that's what she did. And I was like, great. And it was really hot to watch her come, even though I was just laying there next to her.
You know? Great.
Cheers. Wow. Sorry, did you hate that? Okay. Okay, did you already... So that was your number five?
That was my number five. You're about to have some really great sex.
Okay. My number five is not a positive one.
Oh, good.
But
so let's end. I was trying to end... Like, I bumped that to my fifth one because it was originally my second. I'm like, no, let's save that to the end because that's exciting.
Yeah. And... Well, this one's important to me from my own experience. And hopefully I have some advice that will help others have a better experience with this.
Okay, great. I like that.
Be prepared to accept that you'll all of a sudden have some wild thoughts and feelings about being a parent in your new single situation.
Oh, okay.
It can get super messy. I was able to vocalize something very specific with a friend that I had absolute trust in. I knew this friend would not judge me. I resented having the children.
Yeah.
I resented the children being a responsibility for me because I was ready to be in my 20s again. I was ready, even though I was in my 30s. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
I wanted to go out and discover myself, but I had these children. And when I told my friend this, she was like, oh, I totally understand that. And she had only had one kid. And she was like, I think every divorced parent goes through that. Especially if you didn't have time before your marriage to really figure out who you are.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'll give you a little example. A few months after my divorce, I started going to a karaoke night at one of the two bars in Cedar City. And this was before I was even drinking. I just needed to go sing. Uh-huh. And I would stay 2-3 hours. When I had the kids, I'd say, okay, I'm putting you to bed. And then I'd put them to bed and then check on them to see if they're asleep yet. And then
by this time I had a middle school child, so I was okay leaving them for 2 to 3 hours. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go karaoke. You'll be asleep when I get back. And Cedar City was safe enough that I felt okay with them.
Small enough. Yeah.
Oh, it was a 5-minute drive. The bar. Yeah. It's so small. So, there were a couple of nights, probably more than a couple, you know how our memories are, where my daughter Emma begged me to not go. But Em, you're in bed. What does it matter? But please just stay here with us, Mom. And I never did when she asked me. I went anyway. And what I would tell my therapist, the therapist I had in the most recent couple years, was as much as I hate myself for not staying home when Emma asked me, I also acknowledge that at that time, wild horses could not have kept me from going to karaoke that night. And so that's why I say it's going to get messy. So if
you... And how many times have you apologized to Emma for this now in adulthood?
Take a guess and you're probably right.
1 million times.
Yes, yes. And to the point that she...
Again, just... it's going to be complicated.
And it's going to get messy. And if you have the... if you have health insurance and can get a therapist, I think that family therapy is a good idea for this transition. If you don't, get a divorced parent friend that you trust won't judge you, and go get coffee. Have a standing date to have coffee or lunch.
And one of those times when you're getting coffee, you might decide to make a podcast.
Right.
And then you could start a podcast empire like we did.
Empire. Especially if you have a coach purse like I did.
Right.
And then what was your thing?
When we went to get coffee?
Yeah. What was your like embarrassingly white thing about yourself? I don't remember.
Well, I'm a man in my 30s starting a podcast.
Oh, right, right. At the time you were in your 30s. That's fucking wild.
Right. Oh, well, thanks a lot.
Okay. So.
So that's it.
Anyway, I think we did it. Yeah.
We did it. We did it all in one sitting, just in one night from start to finish.
On the night that we originally chose as well.
Right. But when we post this tomorrow, which will be Wednesday, let's not post it till like late afternoon.
That sounds like a good time to post.
Just to mix it up, because usually we'll post like right away. Like usually we would post right now, which is very late at night because we started recording late.
On a Tuesday. But
let's just post it tomorrow, kind of like late afternoon, just for kicks.
Maybe Utah time, like around 3 o'clock.
Just see if maybe it will perform differently. You know, maybe we'll get a different result. Maybe we'll learn something different about our audience.
So I think it would be fun. Tell me what you think. If we posted like on our Instagram after we post that we published an episode, what if we opened up our Instagram story like for the question widget? And we'll answer your questions.
Right. And also we want to hear your stories about masturbating.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. And also, remember, this is for entertainment purposes only.
Right. We are not professionals. Wait, actually, I'm going to take that back. If you have stories about how you and your partner masturbate, just send those in our DMs. Because I feel like you're not going to be able to fit those in the question widget.
Right. You know? We'd love to hear.
I'm just very curious. And I like to hear about your husband's masturbating. So
yes.
Anyway. Okay. So just as a reminder, in case you forgot from yesterday or from a few minutes ago. The best ways to support us are patreon.com/hotdrinks. You can give us a little bit of money every month and it adds up and it helps us a lot. And we know we have not been giving any rewards and we're going to figure something out. We're working on it.
Yep.
Number two way to support us, you can buy Hot Drinks merch. The link is in our bio on Instagram. You can get still waiting for more people to buy the spit in the mouth boxer shorts.
Cowards.
Boxer briefs.
Yeah.
And then the other way is support our jewelry business, Aspera Jewelry.
Aspera.
We make the cutest fucking jewelry, you guys. It's so fucking cute.
Yeah. And none of the designs are ours. None of the designs are ours. We just keep it going.
Yeah, that's true. We just, yeah, we have a very good designer. Let's just say that, who started the company.
Yes.
But I will also say this to make a real commercial out of it. People are going to get so annoyed about me plugging Aspera every episode. We have a clearance section on our website, and we have some really cool chains that we are just working to move through because we have a lot of them sitting around, and they're like 65% off. So you can get a cute either chain like necklace or bracelet for like very cheap. Anyway,
plug it up, baby. Okay.
Is this annoying? Also in Instagram, tell us like, God, please stop talking about your fucking jewelry business. I'll follow it if I want to. But I'm actually, even though I've done nothing for it, I'm actually very proud of it. And I really enjoy it. And I think we make beautiful things, and I'm proud of the work my sister put into it. And I just want people to support it, because I think it's great. Anyway.
All press is good press.
Hey, well, I'm going to go to bed because it's late.
And I'm tired too. And I'm going to put on my frownies and brush my teeth.
Oh, sounds amazing. Okay, well, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, sleep well.
Okay, bye.
Bye.